So, what brings you out this snowy April Fool's Day? What are you looking for? What exactly are you looking for? Why have you come here to this place today? And you must be looking for something in particular, especially on a day like today, because any pastor or church worker can tell you if it snows, people don't show. Yeah, we say that. I know, it's kind of cheesy. But I suppose some of you are here because, well, it's the traditional expected thing to do on Easter Sunday, right? My parents always made sure we were in church on Easter, and so I'm carrying on the tradition. If that's the case, pat yourself on the back. Mom or grandma would be proud. Maybe your family has a different rule, a mandate. No church, no Easter ham. Some of you, well, you might be here because you're always here every Sunday. And I'm not complaining about that. It's good to see you too. But today you might notice is a little different, except, of course, for the Easter breakfast and the glorious return of Alleluias. So why? Why are you here? What is it that you are really looking for? The answer from God's holy word of what Christians are looking for is this: you are looking for the end of the journey. You are looking for home. Maybe you are here because you're home for the holiday and your family always goes to church together on Easter. Maybe you're here because you are unable to be home and church on Easter Sunday reminds you of your home and family. Maybe perhaps church and the people here, as in the case of a pastor and his family, are your home and family. And there is something, is there not, about this day and about this place, about all the pomp and circumstance that we do here on this day that reminds us of home? That feels familiar, even if for some of you might be the first time you're seeing and hearing it? Rightly so. The unfortunate truth remains, however, that you and I spend most of our days looking for home and that which seems comfortable elsewhere. I'm not talking about church attendance, although that's related. I'm referring to our focus upon things of the world. You see, we look around us, we look to these things of the world as if they are what truly matter. We look to the world, to mammon, stuff, possessions, jobs. We look to that as if that is truly our home. And while that might seem like a small matter on the surface, in reality, it means that we are exactly like the women in our Easter text today from the gospel. Matter of fact, we heard of the women from two different gospel writers, one at the beginning of the service and one here for the gospel appointed for the day. You see, the first place we go to seek Jesus is a tomb. We as sinners look for Jesus among the dead, and we treat the pit of the tomb as if it were home. Why, after all, would the women go to the graveyard to see Jesus? I know, normally we talk about how the women were doing their duty by going out to anoint the body, to properly prepare his body for burial. They were doing the stuff that the men folk, well, they're still at home, probably passed out in their recliners after the really bad basketball loss last night. And we speak of the women's bravery while the rest of the crew hid behind locked doors in fear and terror. We talk about the devotion of the women to the Son of God, but this truth remains the same. It doesn't matter how you spin it. The women that went there believed Jesus to be dead. They went to the tomb to see Jesus because the tomb is the home for dead people. right? Why do you go to the cemetery? If you do, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, or throughout the year. Why did they seek Jesus among the dead? Answer, because death is the land of exile for mankind. Sin has made it so. Death is the reality we all face, and yes, it is true that we fight it, we deny it, we do all we can to put it off, and thanks be to God for new medical procedures and medicine and all that stuff, but the reality of our sin is death. Death is our land of exile. The grave is our wilderness home. You can eat as healthily as you want. You can work out. You can see the best doctors. You can do the cleanse stuff where you drink the nasty stuff out of the whatever. You can eliminate stress. You can be in touch with your inner self. Try yoga. You'll like it. Maybe not. Yet, you will still die. Such is the devastation wrought by sin in our world and in our beings in the Garden of Eden, way back when, and we've kind of covered this through the Lenten season if you've been with us, man willingly brought sin into our world. God didn't create it that way. But who knew that sin would bring its partner, death? The devil forgot to mention that one when he talked about knowing good and evil. And this death is not the sanitized death of our American culture. It's not what we see time and time again on all the Netflix shows that we binge on. No, this is the brutal, agonizing, weeping and gnashing of teeth kind of death that is the result of being separated from God. Death, according to Scripture, is the everlasting condemnation, death that is suffering beyond comparison. Death that is the great enemy that no man can overcome, and it's our sin that has sent us to this land of exile, this land of death. You and I are in an exile that is a death, both physical and spiritual. We are in exile with no ability to escape and no hope of return. The world would seek to placate you. What's that crazy movie with the people that blast off from Earth because they've littered it with trash? It's a cartoon movie, you know the one I'm talking about. And they fly off into outer space, and they sit in their chairs, and they drink their big sugary drinks, and they get so fat and complacent, and they think life is perfect and good when, really, it's not. That's what the devil seeks to do to you and me. So small wonder that we live as if the tomb, this world, and the stuff of this life is our home. For this reason, God sent his Son into the world, that your eyes might be opened, that the blind might see. Jesus came to rescue us from our land of wandering, from our deadly exile, from the reality of death itself. And this is the exile which Christ has freed us from and brought us out of. Jesus came to accomplish what we had no hope of accomplishing ourselves. And so by the cross, which is why we still keep a crucifix or two around even during Easter, you want to know how he's redeemed you? How he's brought you back? With his holy precious blood, his innocent suffering and death. Why Paul continues to tell us in Holy Scripture, we preach Christ crucified. You can sanitize it all you want and talk about an empty cross, but the truth is you're a sinner and you need someone to pay for your sin. You need someone to rescue you, and that's why Jesus hung there upon the cross, to bear your sin, to suffer, to bleed, to die. And it was there through that action, not through his resurrection, by the way, that he conquered Satan. As he provided the sacrifice required, as he cleansed you from guilt and shame. For this God sent his Son. For this Jesus faced death in your place and finished the work God promised he would do. And for this, Jesus, our Lord, was laid in a tomb as a lifeless corpse. But a lifeless corpse with a promise. The women who went to the tomb that first Easter morning were not focused on the promise. And that's where you and I as Christians often get, well, off track. They were focused on the corpse. They went to see Jesus among the dead. They were living as if the grave was their home, the end of their journey. But the angel told them, "Don't be alarmed. Don't be afraid. Do not fear." Do those words sound familiar? They should. "You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified." He was crucified, but he's risen. He's not here. But why do you seek him here? Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek Jesus in a tomb? He's not here. He's risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. You're catching on. The tomb was empty. It was not Christ's home. Only for 3 short days, and the days began at sundown, by the way. That's how we get 3 days. Don't get all crazy on me. For 3 short days, the grave held him. The grave, the pit, was not and would not be his dwelling place. The land of exile with sin and death, Satan's wilderness, couldn't contain him. He's not there. We don't go to lay flowers on his grave. We don't have soldiers and ministers prancing around with all sorts of fancy stuff that might be good and well intended, because he is risen. I didn't have to prompt you that time. Good job. And so now, do you realize what this means? If the tomb is not Christ's home, then the tomb is not your home either. Christ has been victorious over sin, death, and the devil, and he has now shared his victory with you. Paid the price, overcome the ancient foe, and you've been rescued, plucked out of the wilderness, out of your big, comfortable, easy chair with your sugary drinks and fattening snacks, and you're restored. You're restored to God. You are returned from the land of exile. Welcome home! Because the tomb is empty. And it's no longer our focus, because it's no longer our home. And so because of this, you want to know what to do next? Stop living your lives fatalistically. Be positive. Kind of like how I was trying to be last night during the KU game and the Royals game at the same time. It's a good thing Jesus isn't a Royal or a KU player, right? Number 2, no longer wander through this world with the attitude that, well, I'm just going to plug along until I, you know, till I die. Number 3, stop living as though you're exiled in a land of suffering and death. The tomb is empty. There's peace and joy that awaits you. There's strength that your Lord promises to give you. And yeah, you will be tempted. Yeah, crazy stuff's going to happen, but he promises that no matter what comes, he'll make sure it's not more than you can bear, and he'll provide a way out you can stand up under it. Believe his word. Have faith, trust, and open your eyes and see what Christ has done. The tomb is empty. So we should not seek Jesus among the dead. Nor do we live our lives as those who have no hope. The tomb is empty, he is risen, and so also we shall arise. Now this world is confusing. No question. This world is uncomfortable and difficult. This world can be heavy and overwhelming and just downright depressing. And this world seeks our attention. This world seeks our citizenship, but this world is not our home. The tomb is empty, and we live our lives as the children of God walking through this strange land. That's why Scripture says, "Be in the world, but not of the world." Remember that your citizenship now, because of Jesus, is in heaven. And so we need to look at ourselves as the living children of God on a journey. And we need to be careful not to focus too much to the right or to the left. We need to be careful that we're not distracted by the glamour, the glitter. Nor should we be overcome by pain and darkness. We walk instead with our eyes focused not on the tomb, but on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who has returned us to a right relationship with our Father in heaven. We walk with eyes focused not on the land of death, but on the gates of everlasting life. Welcome home. Here is your home, where the Lord gives his gifts, forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, where you can taste and see that the Lord is good, receive the medicine of immortality in your very mouth, where you can hear and be assured of all that he has done, of all that's been done to him, and how he yet lives, so that you may know that the same is promised for you. I'm honored to share these beautiful words with you today, to tell you welcome home, and I can only do that because of Christ. His tomb is empty. He is not here. He is risen. Amen.